how many of you had been acquainted with our Lutheran work among the Navajo Indians before you came to Holden? There are some of you, but the vast majority of you perhaps have not heard of the work. Navajo Lutheran Mission was started by lay people about 26 years ago. It operated completely by lay people. A little clinic was such a gracious, and services were held. Then it was reorganized under an independent Lutheran board, and on the board are representatives from the American Lutheran Church, the Lutheran Church of America, and the Missouri Synod. I'm going to show you some slides, first of all, of the area and of the people. Then just a very few slides representing our work. I'm Bernita Severson. I've been at the mission for 12 years. Elsie Dyrud has been there 16 years, and she'll do more talking, I hope, than I will. I will show the slides and comment briefly on them, and then we'll plan on a question and answer period, too. And then if someone will... Yeah, Elsie will get... Let's see, I think... My first slide is quite dark, by the way, but I'm still using it because it will tell you a little bit about where Rock Point, where the Navajo reservation is. It's the largest of the Indian reservations. It's located in Arizona and laps over into Utah and into New Mexico. The Navajo people number perhaps about 150,000, perhaps more than that now. We haven't had any reports from the last census. Within the Navajo reservation is the Hopi reservation. The Hopi people are village people. The Navajo people live widely scattered because they have been sheep herding people. We have three stations under Navajo Lutheran Mission. Rock Point is perhaps the best known because it was started first. But there is also a station 35 miles down the road at Many Farms, which is a community that has a large boarding high school. Not much else, but a very large school. At Navajo, New Mexico, there is industry. There's a large lumber plant that is a lumber mill, and that is operated almost entirely by Navajo. It took quite a period of training before they reached that point, but it is a successful industry and the main, one of the few industries of the reservation. If you're traveling in the area and get to the Grand Canyon, you'll be about 200 miles to the west of our mission area. I'd like you to notice the Navajo girl in this picture. She's part of our mission staff, Clara Totsoni. Maybe we'll have time to tell you a little of her story later. The other girl is a remarkable girl who came to us from France just because she had read about American Indians. She wanted so badly to meet American Indians that she became a teacher of English as a second language in her own country. And then by a number of remarkable things fitting together, she came to us two summers. And the wonderful thing is that in France now, there are people praying for Navajo Indians. Perhaps she'll go to Monument Valley. That's about 70, 80 miles from us. And then another beautiful tourist place is Canyon de Chelly. It looks like Canyon de Shelley when you look at it, but everybody says Canyon de Chelly. And that's at Chinle, Arizona. Chinle is our post office. It's 50 miles from Rock Point. There's space on the reservation. People live widely scattered until very recently. Now little communities are beginning to form. And you can see why they live so widely scattered, because on this vegetation, it takes many acres to support a flock of sheep and goats. We usually say sheep, but sheep and goats together graze. I guess these are practically all sheep here in the foreground, at least. The goats are a small Angora goat. Both are very good tasting for food. A mutton stew, whether it's made out of sheep or goat, it's still called mutton stew, and it's delicious. This summer was terribly hot. Some of the winters are really quite cold. The first time I went to visit at Rock Point, it was 30 below. So my idea of going to Arizona changed just a little bit. That's because we're at about 5,000 altitude. Some winters we have quite a bit of snow, some winters very little. But we always have plenty of sky. I wondered how could I live without trees, and I discovered that the beauty of the rocks changes with the changing light, and if we had too many trees, we wouldn't see the color. This is typical of the old-type home. Frank and Maggie Begay stand beside their old hogan. Now they live in improved housing, a modest, but a little bit better. This whole hogan was beginning to wear out. The hogan was a very practical type of housing for the area. It was insulated by mud, basically a log structure. The beds usually line the edge of the room. There may be a little table or a little cupboard that forms the kitchen. Sometimes a table to eat on. Many times the floor was comfortable. It was cool in the summer and not too difficult to heat in the winter, except that a dirt floor can be very cold. And they would sometimes use sheepskin on the floor in order to keep that warmer. Today many frame houses are being built, at first poorly constructed, but they're learning much more about building. The tribe is helping quite a bit in improving the housing. And then many of the Navajo who are employed and have cash income coming in buy mobile homes, and that makes good instant housing. The sheep. Among the older people, life revolves around the sheep. So much of the words of the Bible become rich as you read the 23rd Psalm, as you read so many references to the sheep and to the goats. Constant care, lots of hard work. Day by day, you can't neglect it. At times, a privilege, at times very hard, depending upon weather and wind and sand. It's the Navajo people who make the beautiful rugs, tapestries we might call them. The rugs today, if you try and buy one, you'll find that the price has gone up considerably in the last 10 years, and they seem high. But to make a rug, from the beginning, you raise the sheep, you shear the sheep, you kill the sheep and skin the sheep and You shear the sheep. You kill it if you're going to have food. I'm getting a little bit off subject there. But it takes quite a bit of carding to get the wool clean enough and ready for spinning. Then usually it has to be spun a couple of times before it's down to the size and the strength that is needed for the rug. You set up the loom. You weave the rug, and the fascinating part about a Navajo rug is the patterns, because very few Navajo rugs are alike. Each is individual. They don't draw a pattern out on the sand. They certainly don't draw it out on paper. It's in their head. And I just marvel sometimes when they weave the large rugs and start and have to roll up one end, and when they get to the rest of the pattern, it comes out right. Beside the sheep, some native plants were able to be used. It's a desert land, and so they have to watch carefully if they want to make use of many of the native plants. In the valleys, the ground is rich, and if there's been good rain in the spring, then corn and squash and beans can be grown. And corn especially was a very basic part of their diet in the past and still is rejoiced. This year we have a wonderful corn harvest, and nearly everybody's going to be groaning a little bit as they overeat on some of the good fresh corn dishes that are made. The corn, really maize, you remember, is a gift to us from the Indian people. And most of the maize that is grown in our area is still the real Indian corn, the colored, multicolored, and the blue corn. Sometimes it's been 3 years between a harvest because it is desert. The last 2 years we've had corn. Another craft, jewelry. Many of you perhaps have enjoyed some turquoise jewelry. And when the turquoise was so popular, many of our people did make jewelry. Now silver has gone so high that it is chiefly those who are really expert craftsmen that continue to make it. The people love their families and love their children. This is one of the things that the Navajo people, I think, can bring a fresh light to our people as through the church. There will be opportunities, I think, for some people to discover the wonderful value that the Navajo people put on their children and on their families. Here, grandfather is giving little Bernadine a bite. The cradle board is still used, very practical. Older brothers and sisters just automatically take care of younger children. And the large family is still highly valued among most of the Navajo families. There's one mother that is soon to have her 13th child. And somehow or other, she looks younger than one can imagine. celebrations, there's many causes in the family to celebrate. This happened to be a high school graduation of Esther, the girl with the red purse. Her family, it was a large gathering. The gifts were lavish, there was lots of food, and we were invited to be a part of that gathering. Esther had gone to our mission school, then she went on to high school. She's had a little college, now she's married and has a child, and we're missing that opportunity to see her little girl because we're up here and she's back at Rock Point after spending quite a bit of time at Texas, and she'll be returning there. Pastor Wally Cole is the director of the mission. Here he is and his wife Fern. They've been there for 15 years and have shaped, I think, a wonderful openness as far as the development of the mission. I think I can very much say that he is a man that is highly respected in the community, not just by the Christians, but by the whole community. They know him as an honest man and a man of God. Down at many farms, there is a Navajo evangelist and his wife, and Pastor Dean Sandberg and his family. And at Navajo, New Mexico, Pastor Ed May and his family. Both of those stations are started later. Their staff is small. They feel understaffed, I'm sure, because Rock Point has, since it's earlier, there were more things that were needed. The clinic was very much needed. There was no medical service in the area that was closer than 50 miles away at the time that the mission was started. There was a doctor there for a while, then just nurses. Now Elsie Benson does almost 24-hour duty. She has hours, but if the doorbell rings, she answers it. Within a year or two, there will be a clinic and large hospital built down at Chinle. That's 50 miles away. At the present time, the Public Health Service does provide ambulance service to our clinic, and this is something that for many years the mission provided. There were many ambulance runs in the middle of the night. Seems like babies always want to come in the middle of the night. Sometimes they come too fast. Elsie Benson has never told us how many babies she's delivered, but it's been quite a number, I think. And the Lord has really been with her, because there have been many times when she's had to make real difficult decisions. She's a woman of prayer, and she has never, as far as we know, made a drastically wrong decision in a time of emergency. We have a school of the first six grades. One time it was a boarding school. The need has changed. It's a day school. This is a Christmas program of the school children, all dressed up in their special dresses. Normally they dress as any child going to school. One of our teachers is Clarence Begay. Clarence started as a teacher's aide out of high school not too long after I came to the mission. This year, this fall, he's starting to do his practice teaching and hopes that by next summer he will have his degree in education and be a full-fledged teacher. He and his wife became Christians. Clarence, I think, was a Christian before he married. His wife and he very quietly made their decision to follow the Lord. They have three sweet children. You'll be seeing one of them later. Here are two beautiful people. Alice Wilson became a Christian possibly soon after, as she had heard some of the gospel, perhaps a little bit before Lutheran work was started. She became a Christian early. She learned to read in Navajo, to read the Bible. She grew in faith. Her husband Willis was one of the respected men of the community. He was bilingual. He spoke some English and worked in the trading post. But he could not come to believe. He had a serious problem with alcohol. His doctor told him that his days were limited. I don't think it was the fear that caused him to put his trust in the Lord, but the faithfulness and the love of his wife just overwhelmed him. And when he died, he would have told you shortly before he died that he was 3 years old. He was one man that was really turned his life around and had a great influence during those 3 years in our community. Two of his sons are two of the lay leaders of the church, and both of them had made their decision to walk the way before him. We have a congregation at Rock Point of over 100 people, and 90% of them are Navajo people. The choir has been a great joy to them during the last couple of years. We have a new hymnal. It has the music printed on the pages. One of the wonderful things about the work among the Navajo is that there is so much cooperation among many denominations. And the people have fellowship with other neighboring missions. It was a grant from the ALCW that started the seed money for the production of the new hymnal. And then other denominations helped to produce it, and it is used throughout the reservation. Celebration is a part of Navajo congregational life. When we have a camp meeting or a Bible conference, always there is a good feast, and it includes stew and fry bread every time. These are our four young men who take turns preaching in Navajo at the Navajo service each Sunday morning. I think that service, the worship, is a gift to all who come to visit at Rock Point. You sit and squirm a bit because the service is always at least an hour and a half long, sometimes two and a half if there's a guest speaker. It's has an informality, it has a freshness, it gives to you even though you understand very, very little. They're kind enough to translate, to announce the text in English usually, so that we know what their sermon is about. But they are very comfortable, usually not bothering with translation, which is a painful business. This picture was taken on a day when the congregation chose to honor these four laymen. And the suggestion was made by an older man who also preaches. He said, he's 80 years old, we celebrated his birthday with an equally big day later. He said, soon I'll be gone. These men are taking my place. All of them are laymen. We are looking for the day when there will be an ordained Navajo Lutheran pastor. But we are so happy because all these men are growing together and studying together. That's the one I knew you'd like. Here's Clarence's little girl when she was, I think this was her second birthday. The bumper sticker says, I'm proud to be an Indian. And Corey is. She's bilingual. She's in the third grade at our mission school now. Fourth grade now. She is a child that has grown up in a Christian home, one of the very first of the children in our community to grow up in a home where both mother and father were Christian. Her grandmother just marvels. I remember when Corey was about 3 years old, she told us, Corey isn't afraid to go from our house over to my son's house. She goes in the dark without even a flashlight. This was something that the grandmother could hardly understand, because the grandmother grew up with much fear. The old religion had much that was beautiful, but underneath was a core, and the dark was frightening, is frightening yet to adults. Not the dark itself, but the darkness of life, I think. I've given you quite a few positive things. Once in a while, we have a few troubles. This day was delightful. I had taken Clara Totsoni with me, and we'd gone out to a home about 20 miles from the mission, driving our Chiditso, our big white car. This is a road I'm on, and the car stalled, and it would not start. I ended up walking down the valley a couple of miles to a home. The dog that came out seemed as big as a horse, but I was so happy to see a door was open. I knew somebody was home, and there was a car there, too. When I got to the home, I went into the hogan where old Grandma was sitting, and we sat and laughed and laughed and laughed, because she thought I was a Navajo coming down, because it was one of the few days I was wearing my Navajo skirt. And then I went over to the other house where her daughter was, who speaks English, and she kindly took us back to the mission. And Pastor Cole interrupted his schedule, as he has no schedule, he has interruptions for schedule. And we went out to rescue the car. Elsie Ann will tell you now more of the work of the mission, more of the delights and the problems that we find at among the Navajo people.
You'll take care of it, Elsie.
In Navajo, I guess I would say yate. That means hello, my friends. And you saw the picture up there with the bad road, with the hard, you could hardly see the road. I don't know where it was at. Sometimes our roads are that way, that we don't have many tracks to follow, but a lot of them are getting better. But that's what I do in Rock Point. I go around and visit the homes. But I am so thankful to have Navajo Christians coming with me now. When I first came, I had to go out and read the Bible in Navajo and maybe take an interpreter with me. Now, 27 years later, I can take the Navajo Christians with me, and I just act like a driver, and they can witness to their own people in their own language. Because the people 40 years old and up, very few of them speak English, because they never had the opportunity to go to school. We did not have schools on the reservation. A few of them did go to school, but they had to go maybe 90 to 100 miles away. And that was a long ways away to go, 100 miles away in a wagon. So it would take a long time. So very few older people had a chance to go to school to learn English language. But it is so great to have the Navajo Christians then go out, and they sing the songs, and they witness. Just as an example, last October, how the Lord meets the people where they're at. One man had a dream, and Navajos believe lots in their dreams. He dreamed that he was sitting in a room reading a Bible with other people, reading and telling him about his life. And then he said he woke up the next morning, and he thought, I wonder if I should go to church, or should I just stay here? And he had just gotten over, he said he'd been drinking. And he was quite educated, and he could speak English quite well, and had a good job at different places. And he said, I think I'll go to church. And he brought one of his sons to church, and he went to the men's Bible class, and he went to church, and he's kept coming ever since last October. And then he brought his wife, and then this wife's sister, stepsister, she'd also been coming to church. And she said, let's go out and visit them. So her and I went out with our Bibles, and she wanted to pick out the portions that she liked. So she had Matthew 7, and she had another one, and she loved the Lord's Prayer, and she learned all this by just repetition. And Clarence Begay, one of the preachers that you saw up there, had just preached a sermon on Psalm 116. And I said, let's go to Psalm 116. And so we did. But sometimes I read too many verses. I might have read like 7 verses in there. She said, that's too much.
When I see the door is open to us as missionaries, we get in the door. If we have a Navajo along with us, they come in too. It would be hard for them to go to a home where they are not a relative or a clan member. This just isn't done. But if they come along for us, we can open the door. Then they have an opportunity to share. And a Navajo will believe a Navajo, I think, a little bit faster than they'll believe a Belladonna.